Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I trust you're doing very well. Patricia and I returned last night right around 6 o'clock in the evening from our incredible journey to Tyler and Bullard, Texas. I want to say good morning to all of our brothers and sisters that are in Tyler and Bullard today. God bless you. And I guess we need to go over a little bit of what happened in Tyler, Texas. We have walked away. We came away from Tyler and Bullard after meeting some incredible people, believing that there is a work to do. I believe that God revealed to us behind the scenes of where He wants to bring the saints of God in this hour. I sense it that there is a growing that's going to take place in Tyler and in Bullard. And I believe that there is another level of glory that is coming in that region. And I believe God wants to do some incredible things, because the people that we met were nothing short than of incredible. Our dear sister Sonia, who set up the entire conference, along with Sister Scarlett and Donna, the three women that were really a part of that, we were hosted by Scarlett. Patricia and I stayed in her beautiful home on one of the lakes out there in Bullard, Texas, and we were refreshed. We slept well in a beautiful room. We were treated with the greatest respect and honor. She was an incredible hostess. Scarlett, thank you, and God bless you once again for your love and your grace that you extended towards us. When we showed up on Friday, we were immediately whisked over to Sonia and Miguel's house. Miguel and Sonia and their incredible children, Alex, and of course Angelina was there that evening as well. And so we had a Shabbat dinner, which was phenomenal. It was delicious. And we ate. We did really good. And we had the opportunity to meet my brother Miguel, who I salute in the Lord. God bless you, Miguel, if you're out there listening today. What a beautiful, beautiful family Sonia has. And Sonia was intrinsic in putting this all together. She rallied the troops. We went back Saturday after our Friday evening Shabbat meal. Saturday, we had a meet and greet around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then some of the friends of Sonia's and Scarlett's came together, and that's where we met Donna and her husband Don, and met Jim out there. Jim, if you're listening, God bless you. I trust that your foot is still doing well. Jim had a broken part in his foot. We prayed over it. He was immediately healed, started walking on it the next day. He said he was still at 80%. And so God's presence was there to heal, and we're thankful for that. And I know that God had an incredible word for Jim as the Spirit is wooing him. So we had our meeting. We talked about different things on Saturday. And then afterwards, we all went for a Whataburger, and that was an incredible gift, and that was a great treat. And Saturday morning also, our dear friend Scarlett took us for breakfast at the country club, and we had an omelet, an incredible omelet for $5. Are you kidding me? On this beautiful place. Way to go. And then, of course, Sunday, we got up, we got going, we kind of prepared ourselves for that afternoon, and we just kind of spent a lot of quality time with Scarlett and her incredible feline friends, the dogs, Rufus and Tico and little Mr. Pibbs, the cat, and Maxie got along great. We were allowed to take our little dog, Max. So Sunday, we traveled over to Tyler. We met Dana in her incredible home. Dana, a beautiful saintess of God Almighty. She had just lost her husband in December, and her kids are all grown up, and she's in a pretty big house by herself and wondering what God is going to do next in her life. And we're believing that God's going to reveal that to her. And she hosted us very well. And then all of the other friends came, and we sat down and had a beautiful meeting for about 2 hours. And I was given the grace to just share on a few things. And then we had open conversation. A wonderful meal was prepared. And then afterwards, Patricia and I we went out for a bite to eat on the way home back to Scarlett's house. And then we Sunday morning got up yesterday, and we had all of our things packed and ready to go. And then we met with Sonia and Scarlett, and we had this big discussion, which was just beautiful, you know, learning time, just, you know, as students of the Word of God, going into the Word, talking about different things. And it was wonderful. And yesterday was Sonia's 55th birthday. And if you're there right now, Sonia, happy birthday to you. I don't see you. There she is. Lots of love to you, Pastors Vincent and Patricia from the Lone Star State. Absolutely. And you're maybe the Lone Star, but you're not alone. That's for sure. Sonia, happy birthday to you once again. 55 and just beginning to move in the eternal purpose of God. So we genuinely had an amazing time. And we did see a number of things happen, and we talked about the possibility of a fellowship gathering together, and there was agreement that a fellowship in Bullard and in Tyler will most likely become a reality. So it was a wonderful trip, and I want to say thank you, by the way, to a number of our friends out there that supplied the need. I know even here at New Wine Ministries, the evening before we left, there were people that just came up to us. We didn't ask anybody particularly or directly. And of course, I received a wonderful blessing from Brother Sean. And Sean, if you're out there, I want to say thank you. Patricia and I say thank you because what you gave to us was very helpful in our journey. And of course, our dear friends, Michael and Carmen, also supplied a need. And we were so thankful. And then our neighbors across the street, Mark and Cindy, made sure that we had a supply of granola. And the granola supply was amazing. We ate granola coming and going. I did cheat a little bit. Before we got on the road, I had some with yogurt, and it was wonderful the night before. So Cindy and Mark, thank you once again for your generous gift as well. And then, of course, the morning we were leaving, some of you out there in YouTube and in the Facebook land who were watching and listening to our broadcast, I made a slight plea for anybody that wanted to financially support the trip. And some of you came through amazingly, and you brought forth a supply. Vinnie Pots and Pans, I want to say thank you. And a few other people, and I need to get the list of names together and just say thank you. There are about four or five people that just gave, and their giving helped us, took the edge off. Our trip was covered before we ever left. And so God did it, God supplied it, and it was absolutely wonderful. So thank you for your giving. We appreciate it, and it was very helpful to us as we went to Tyler and Bullard. As you know, the vision that God has downloaded in my spirit, Patricia is gathering alongside of me. I'm her husband, and so she goes with me. And together, we believe that God desires for us to begin to move out once again, like we did in the 1990s, and to gather with the saints of God, like we just did in Tyler and Bullard, and sit down and communicate. You could only get so much information out in 2 days and two-hour meetings. There's only so much you can do. The idea, however, is to gather those who that hear the little bit, and we try to keep things very balanced, but hear the little bit and say, you know what, we want to hear more. We want to know more. And we have a tremendous amount to offer to the body of Christ. And so as we gather, as Patricia and I are going out, we've been invited to South Dakota. Kathy and Ken are going to be hosting us in South Dakota. That's our next trip in July. I think we're going July 15th through the 19th or the 16th through the 19th, whatever it is. But we're going to be going to several house meetings. And again, we're not looking for big crowds. We're not trying to go out there and build a mega church anywhere. We're wanting to meet with the remnant. We're wanting to meet with men and women that know what time it is. They understand the signs of the times, and they want to know what to do about it. They want to know how the body of Christ in those particular regions could gather together and get some things done. For example, in our Tyler meeting Sunday, we started talking about what people could actually be doing to make a difference. And there were people that came up with the idea. Some people had 34 acres of land. Others were looking at two plots of over 60 acres, and people are wanting to grow. And we were able to share with them what we've been doing for 11 years and tell them how things could be done and where we could help. And I just love the idea that people were really excited about what we could do together to get things ready in that region. And so this is our vision. This is our assignment. I believe it's mine, part of it, to make sure that we get out there and we begin to just share as much as we can with the believers and the saints of God in different cities and different townships and different regions, wherever they are. And so one of the things we were desiring was an RV, and we're praying about an RV. I've got some very good friends that are assisting us in prayer that God will provide an RV so that when we go, we don't have to stay in hotels and we don't have to discomfort anybody by staying in their home. We understand that that could be a difficult thing. It certainly was not the case in Tyler. We were very happy to drive down there and stay with our dear sister, Scarlett, and it was just absolutely wonderful. So however God wants to move in that, but in our vision, we're moving throughout the United States. We are pastors of our church here at New Wine Ministries. We have an incredible church. Pastor Michael on Saturday night knocked it out of the park. I've heard it again and again and again that he started on a wave and the thing mounted to a tidal wave of the glory of God that he ministered. And then on Sunday for Father's Day, Pastor Ken, who has somewhat of a fatherly anointing upon him, shared, you know, his thoughts with the body of Christ. And so our church was well covered. We're always happy to come back home and be with New Wine Ministries because this is our family. This is where we do life together. This is where we grow together. This is where we're challenged together. This is where we learn together and we're working together. And so this will always be our home and our base. But every opportunity God affords for us to get out there and do the work of encouraging other saints in other places to actually not just listen on the computer or on radio, but actually come face to face and spend as much time as they want to spend. If there's a week that they want to spend, we'll spend a week. We'll spend as much time as necessary to help get things moving in the right direction. And as I said earlier, I really believe that what was being revealed to us without us even knowing it while we were there in Tyler and Bullard, I saw the standard. I saw where God wants to bring things. I saw the blessing of the Lord that needs to be bestowed and wants to be bestowed in that area to just bring things up to the next level. There's a growing here, and I'm going to be standing in agreement with the brothers and sisters that their lives are going to be just beginning to go a little bit higher. Things are going to begin to transform and kind of move around them as they, in their mind and their spirit and their body, are ready to go forward. I just see some incredible things happening. So we're very happy to report that. I want to say thank you once again. And let me just share something that I thought was interesting this morning as we shift and get ready for the week ahead of us. Yes, I did say Patricia came alongside. Vinny, if you're listening, Vinny Pots and Pans, Patricia just came with a broom in her hand, said, thank Vinny for what he did. Vinny, he gave quite a nice blessing and to make sure that our trip was covered. God bless you, sir. And I know you don't want us talking about that, but thank you for what you did. It takes a good thank you along with everybody else. So now what I'd like to do, I want to shift. And again, Patricia and I are on assignment. We're ready to go. If you happen to live in a city where you know a few saints that want to gather together and have a conversation, we are available to you. We are available. As I said, we will be going next month in July up to South Dakota, and we are available to you in any city where God's people want to gather together because they're recognizing what's going on in our country. Now, let me just say this. I have a video. It's about 8 minutes I'm going to share with you. It's going to blow your mind. And it came from a friend of mine, John Murillo, who I've met personally, ex-military man, is in Little Rock area, and I won't go any further than that. But John has sent a video out, and it is nothing short than absolutely amazing. And I want to share that video with you because it's going to set everything in order in your mind. You are not going to be confused about what you're looking at right now. You're going to know, you're going to understand what you are looking at in this country. Okay? So at 7:53-ish this morning here in Northwest Arkansas, I had already been awake. I've been awake since 2 o'clock this morning. At 7:53-ish this morning, I turned on the news. I turned on Fox Business News. And I always like to see what they're talking about and how things are moving. And I like to look at the price of metals. And I'd like to see how things are going with the markets and all of that stuff. And it was absolutely phenomenal to me that when I turned it on at the little ticker tape, that the price of gold went up to exactly, at that time, 7:53-ish, 1776.00. Gold was at $1,776 per ounce. And I saw the number 1776, and I thought, oh my God, the Declaration of Independence, the Revolutionary War that started in April of 1775. And here we are, 1776, the price of gold. The president then came on before I got on radio today, and he was getting ready to go to Arizona, to Yuma, Arizona. I know Yuma, Arizona very well. I actually worked for a man who was the mayor of Gila Bend, Arizona, back in California in Long Beach when he used to work at the Long Beach Naval Shipyards. I did that a long time ago, working on the tracks and the filters and doing all that stuff. Jerry Robeson was the man who was the mayor of Gila Bend, Arizona, who was my boss at that time. And so Yuma, we on the way through Yuma and Gila Bend, the president is on his way. Now, you know, Saturday night there was a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it was met with protests in the news media. The leftist news media was poo-pooing the idea and for weeks was just trying to discourage any kind of gathering together. And I wouldn't be surprised if all of this COVID-19 stuff was not designed by the left to actually prevent the rallies that are so important to an election, if they're trying to keep that all gone. Because now the president's on his way to Yuma, Arizona for another meeting. And again, the news media is already at it, the Communist News Network over there and others, about how dangerous this is, right? Meanwhile, the statues in Washington, D.C. and all throughout the nation are being torn down by protesters who are gathering together for their rallies. And it's not being decried or debunked, or the protesters are not being told to social distance. I mean, the hypocrisy is so outrageous. And if people are succumbing to the deceiving, ideological, deceptive narrative and the propaganda We've got to break that. And you're going to see by that video I'm going to share with you in just a moment exactly what I'm talking about. So I was looking at the price of gold on the ticker, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. And let me just share a little bit about that. The Declaration of Independence is the pronouncement adopted by the Second Continental Congress meeting at the Pennsylvania State House, now known as Independence Hall, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on July 4th, 1776. The declaration explained why the 13 colonies at war with the Kingdom of Great Britain regarded themselves as 13 independent sovereign states no longer under British rule. With the declaration, these new states took a collective first step toward forming the United States of America. The declaration was signed by representatives from New Hampshire, Massachusetts Bay, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that when I opened my eyes and I saw 1776, the price of gold, that the Declaration of Independence, you are about to witness a mass American movement of patriots that are about to rise and contend with what they're seeing in this country, the communist takeover of the United States of America. What you are witnessing is the communist takeover. This is a very well-planned, thought-out agenda that started way back when. And if you're ready, I'm ready to show you the video that's about 7 or 8 minutes long that's going to solidify. You're going to understand exactly why the president is calling them anarchists, Antifa, Black Lives Matter. This is not a social or civil issue. This isn't because we have problems in our nation with race. This is so far beyond race. You are not looking at race. Now, race will be used to further the plans and foment the plans of the anarchists, of the communistic revolution that's going on. There will be a race war. There will be race rioting. There will be. The Bible says there will be. Race will rise against race. But really, it's a tool to further the real agenda that we are witnessing right now in our country. And that's why there's going to be a declaration of independence once again, not from a foreign power, but from a domestic power that has made its move, that is not going to turn back. This is their time. And we have come to the clash of kingdoms, the clash of ideologies, the clash of government ideas, et cetera, et cetera. So it's ready to happen. But I'm going to show you the video that my brother John showed to me that's going to enlighten you. And it goes all the way back to the 1950s. And actually, as this gentleman is talking about it, it's literally going back to 1928. Yes, a long-term plan to bring about exactly what you are seeing. You have to listen very carefully, because there is a revolutionary war ready to be fought in the United States of America. I guarantee you that. It is, again, designed to rip the fabric of our society and our nation to shreds. So with that being said, and then I want to get into some biblical passage about the trouble. Oh, my God, wait till you hear the definition of trouble. As a matter of fact, let me give it to you first, and then I'll give it to you again in just a moment. So the word troubles, now in Mark, the only time the word troubles, plural, is used is in Mark chapter 13, verse 8. Let me read it to you in Mark 13, 8. For nation, Jesus said, shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. The word troubles there, are you ready for this? Here is the Greek definition for the word troubles. It is the Greek word tarakai, tarake. You can have it any way you want it, tarake, tarake. Here's what it means. Disturbance, i.e. of water roiling, or of a mob sedition. A mob sedition. This is part of the troubles in the last days that Jesus said would exist. A mob sedition, a disturbance. It goes on in a little bit more definition. It means disturbance, commotion, metaphorically a tumult, sedition. You are witnessing it with your very eyes as we speak. Now, what I would like to do is get to the video. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to revisit that again. So what I want to do is I want to bring this over just a little bit more to about right there. And then I'm going to share the screen. And if you're ready, I'm ready. And here we go. We're going to go to a video and just take you a minute to listen to it. I'll turn it up as loud as I can. Hopefully it comes through nice and clear. And here it is. Ready? And let me push the play button on it. Go.
The communists declared that the racial differences among our people constituted the weakest and most vulnerable point in our social fabric. By constantly probing and straining at this one spot, they calculated that eventually the cloth could be torn apart and that Americans could be divided, weakened, and perhaps even set against each other in open combat. We mustn't kid ourselves into thinking that the communists have placed their agitators only into the black communities. They're working both sides of the street. They want hatred, violence, and bloodshed between the races, and they don't care how they get it or whom they use, even children if necessary. Here is a book that I think ought to be in every home library. It's entitled Color, Communism, and Common Sense by Manning Johnson. He joined the party as a young man because he honestly believed that the communists were trying to improve the conditions of his people. He was a dedicated communist, and eventually he rose to one of the highest ranks. But after many years, he discovered that instead they were merely planning to use his people in a bloody revolution to destroy America. And when he woke up to this, he dropped out of the party and devoted the rest of his life trying to alert his fellow citizens of all races to the true nature of the Communist Party as he knew it to be from the inside. Manning Johnson said, "Black rebellion was what Moscow wanted. Bloody racial conflict would split America. During the confusion, demoralization and panic would set in. Then finally the Reds say, workers stop work. Many of them seize arms by attacking arsenals. Street fights become frequent. Under the leadership of the Communist Party, the workers organize revolutionary committees to be in command of the uprising. Armed workers seize the principal government offices, invade the residences of the president and his cabinet members, arrest them, declare the old regime abolished, establish their own power." Now, here is a piece of vicious communist propaganda that perhaps some of you have seen. It's called The Crusader. It's written by Robert F. Williams, one of the organizers of the Revolutionary Action Movement. In this issue of The Crusader, the communists call not only for extensive chaos within the cities, but for putting to the torch every village, every forest, every field, and every barn. The plan is for raging fires from one city to the next. The reason? Well, first, there's the value of sheer destruction. Secondly, it would force us to deploy our defenses and rescue units over the widest possible area. The communists point out that as long as our police and National Guard remain concentrated, they're invincible. But if they can be forced to spread out over the entire city and into the countryside as well, then they can be picked off from ambush one by one. And the third value of massive fire to the communists is psychological. The average American, they say, soft and decadent, when he sees billows of black smoke rising from one horizon to the other, when at night the only light he has to see by is the flickering red from flames leaping into the sky, he'll become paralyzed with fear and panic. He'll run away and hide and do nothing to interfere with the guerrilla bands as they strike at the community's power centers. The Crusader explains how to set up sniper units in crowded metropolitan areas, how to manufacture jumbo Molotov cocktails, the gallon jug size, and how to mix the gasoline with certain ingredients to make it burn like napalm, how to pour gasoline into utility manholes in the streets to set fire to the main telephone cables, how to put sulfur tips from matches into air conditioning units and blow up large buildings, how to ignite gas mains and oil storage tanks. It explains how radio-controlled model airplanes can be used to fly explosive charges over heavily guarded fences into gasoline storage areas or munition stockpiles. It even calls for infiltration into the National Guard units, revolutionaries posing as non-militants for the purpose of getting free military training and for gaining access to critical military supplies and heavy weapons. And then, finally, Robert Williams says this: any all-out minority revolution must create a state of crisis wherein almost all of the male population would be forced to remain in their homes to protect their property and families. The middle class is very large, but it is not accustomed to deprivation and terror. Because of its affluence, it has waxed soft. It has no stomach for massive fire, blood, and violence. The motive force behind its life drive is its endless pursuit of prestige, conspicuous consumption, and sensual pleasure. A few years of violent, sporadic, and highly destructive uprisings will set the stage for the grand finale. After the stage is properly set through protracted struggle, America could be brought to her knees in 90 days of highly organized, fierce fighting, sabotage, and massive firestorm. Ladies and gentlemen, the plans and preparations for a communist revolution of force and violence are far advanced. The organization behind these preparations has almost unlimited financial resources, and it provides both training and leadership based upon years of experience in many other countries. Our enemies are deadly serious about their task, and it's nothing short of national suicide for us to continue to ignore their plans and their progress. The violent revolution becomes of primary value to the communists to the extent to which it can be used to condition the masses psychologically to accept the nonviolent revolution, which is offered supposedly as the only alternative. Hoping to avoid further violence and bloodshed, the public is to be pressured into accepting measures that will move the country gradually and legally toward communism, but without calling it that. The strategy of the proletarian revolution calls for the quiet conversion of our government into a communist regime, but under the banner of socialism. Well, what is socialism? All right, let's define it. According to the dictionary, socialism is a political concept based upon the principle of government ownership and control of property, the means of production, and the avenues of commerce. Under socialism, those who run the government, and the communists are confident that in America they eventually will be the ones who do so, those who run the government will know who is to get something and who has to wait, and that represents control over human beings. What has all this to do with the communist revolution in America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has everything to do with it, because the building of socialism is the communist revolution in America. It represents the process whereby our country can be moved gradually toward communism without the people even being aware of it. No matter what grievance we may have, real or imagined, no matter what national problems we may face, the communists seize upon these as excuses to build socialism. They have one and only one solution for all problems: more government, and then more and more, until it's total government. And forgive me for saying it one more time: total government is communism.
All right, so there it is. Let me find this stop screen here.
I want you guys to see this.
Okay, let me get that out of the way. Lance Wolno is right up next. So there you have it, a very real understanding of what is going on. Now, let's talk about communism just for a moment. Communism, global communism, obviously is the movement towards a one world government where government rules over the people. And as you know, in the United States, through the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, the government was to be very small, as a servant body to the people. Well, over time, through socialism, the government gets empowered and it becomes the dominant force. And when it's a godless government, it becomes even more demonic. And so globally around the world through the United Nations and their function in the world today, everything is moving towards the satanic reality of what Scripture says and calls a one world government where all the nations of the earth will be worshiping the beast and worshiping the dragon. So what I believe, that was from, by the way, G. Edward Griffin around 1958. I'll get you the exact dates, but it was in black and white. Edward G. Edward Griffin around 1958 saying it goes all the way back to the 1920s. It's been a very long lasting movement. It's like Islam. You know, they created chess. They know how to wait for the moment to make the move. Well, you're witnessing everything. And we need to play that video. You need to get it over and over and over again, downloaded, so that you know what's happening in your world today. Now, isn't this interesting? As communists and communism is what we're looking at, a revolution within the United States, the call to the patriots of this nation, a Declaration of Independence moment, an inward battle. Now Dimitri Dudeman comes along and he says, the Romanian prophet many years ago, that it's all going to begin with an internal revolution. And then outside forces will come. Now comes the detonation of nuclear weapons and dirty bombs and all the things that have been prophesied years ago will come to pass. Everything you're witnessing and seeing right now has been prophesied in the past. It was said that there would be anarchy, civil disobedience. These times would come. It would morph into a civil war, civil disobedience. It would turn into what we're witnessing. And it's only the second wave, for goodness sake. There are two major waves coming. Now, isn't it interesting? Since we now know what's going on, this is Luciferian, satanic communism to set the stage for the coming of Lucifer. And what happened over the weekend? Ladies and gentlemen, you know that there were 22 cities in the United States of America that were hosting marches by Satanists, Luciferian Satanists, for the specific purpose in the summer solstice on June 21st to march and pray to Lucifer to bring his one world government. Are you kidding me? You can't make that stuff up, right? You've heard people say it before, but it's true. That's what happened over the weekend. So now you have outspoken, out in the open, Luciferian, satanic priesthood marching through city streets in America, praying to Lucifer to bring his one world government. That is an empowerment of the communist revolution that's underway, with the added reality that this weekend, babies 11 days old were being sacrificed upon the altars of Satanism. Yes, 11-day-old babies were being sacrificed as a bloody, ritualistic, sacrificial offering to Lucifer to empower his legions upon the earth. All this weekend, what were you doing this weekend? What were you doing this weekend? Where were you? What were you listening to? Were you just kind of blowing it all off, saying, well, I don't want to hear any of that negativity. I just want to go out and, you know, go shopping and play golf or whatever you love to do, you know, go out on the boat, whatever. Were you aware that Luciferians marching through the cities of America were calling Lucifer, shedding the blood of little babies to empower the sacrifice, that the communist revolution will succeed? My God. And now, call to the patriots in this country. Here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. And I'm sorry that if you don't like what I believe or you don't believe what I believe, it's okay. But I believe that this has been consistent for many years now. What God has said since 2003, America has crossed the point of no return. We will never see the greatness of the United States of America again until the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is manifested openly in this nation. I believe that with all my heart. So the call to patriotic duty in this country is going to bring, again, the second revolution in the United States of America. and it's going to be a bloody battle. But the unfortunateness is our cause is not coming from innocence. We are not fighting a cause where we could stand back as a nation and say we're innocent. No, we've been compliant to the shedding of over 90 million babies' innocent blood by our silence. We have allowed our taxpayer dollars to support the abortion industry for such a long time, known as Planned Parenthood. We have sat back when on June we allowed men to marry men and women to marry women. We've allowed pornography to run rampant within our society. Again and again, we just sit back and see that there was no outcry. There was no justice standing up to keep a moral compass within our nation. Now we're trying to fight this war with all the sludge that has come through our compliant, quiet, mediocre, lukewarm, compromised condition as a church, let alone as a nation, for many patriots are just as godless as the Antifa fighters that are out there. They may have a different ideology, but their souls are unsaved as well. So God told me years ago, that he was going to flush patriotism out of the system. The only true power in this nation will be those who operate in the power of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom patriots, the revolutionary sons and daughters of the kingdom. That's where the real power of God is going to be manifested in these last days, according to what I believe, and I believe it's consistent. In the days of Jeremiah, there were patriots, there were politicians, there were priests, there were prophets, and they were all saying, nothing is going to happen to us. We're going to fight. We're going to join forces. The political maneuvers were going on. The patriots were getting stirred up. But then was the true prophet of God, Jeremiah, one man saying, you're not fighting against Babylon or any other nation. You are fighting against God. But they didn't get it. That it was a time of judgment. And Jeremiah was saying to the nation, it doesn't matter how many patriots you have, how big your armies are, whatever weapons you have, you're not going to beat God. You have sinned against the Lord. You have broken the everlasting covenants. And so no matter what you do, there is no political prowess that you're going to utilize to, you know, save the day. Your patriots, though they are patriotic, are not going to win the war. It's not going to happen. We are looking at the utter collapse of the sovereignty of the United States of America because we have capitulated as a ecclesia, as a church, to what is happening, to the prevailing storms. We sat silent. We let it be. We wanted luxury and to live our lives the way we wanted to be at peace, so we ignored it. There's no way we're going to ignore the collapse because for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled, the communistic government, the Antichrist government must come to power. Lucifer will come down onto this earth. He will take his position of power. And for 3.5 years, he will overcome the saints. He will blaspheme everything belonging to God. And the greatest tribulation that the world has ever known and the church has ever encountered is ready to commence. You're going to witness it. They've got to break the sovereignty. We have a patriotic president. But look at the warfare that's come against him. He's calling the patriots to arms very soon. It's going to be a call to the silent majority. But will the patriotic movement win the day when God is called for the dismantling and judgment upon a nation? Because the last day's prophecies are going to be fulfilled. Well, I know it's not a popular message, but I believe it's going to show itself to be true. Just like in 2003 when we came out over the airwaves and we said, America has crossed the point of no return. I've been waiting for 17 years to see if we would come back. And we have not come back. We've gone so far away, it's not even funny. And then in 2003, God said, do not pray for this nation, but pray for the saints of God within this nation, that they will be able to navigate through the storm. And that's it. We've not been allowed to pray for America, but we have been praying for the saints to wake up and to know how to be guided in these days. Now, what I want to do is shift again briefly, and I want to look at this definition and these scriptures having to do with troubles. Let me read to you one more time the definition of the word troubles. Okay? So let me search it out. The word troubles. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? I mean, the patriotic movement without God being among them will not work. In the 1770s, when the revolution was fought, it appears that God was among them. Is God among us today? Is God among the patriots today? What are they fighting for? Are they fighting to do away with abortion and homosexuality and pornography? Are they fighting to bring a moral righteousness back to our society? Are they willing to put away the filth off of television coming out of Hollywood and getting rid of all these corrupt politicians? Or is it just some other cause? What are they fighting for? Because if it's not a moral revolution and God is not in it, they will fail. And I declare unto you, they will fail. The prophecy is in motion. The prophecy is in motion. The book of Revelation, it's here. Now, in verse 21 of Deuteronomy 31, it says, and it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land, which I swore. So there was a song of sorrows. There is a lamentation. There is a song that will be sung, and they will be pining away upon the mountains, according to Ezekiel, loathing themselves for what they allowed to happen in the country and in their nation, when they sinned grievously against the Lord by their own silence, their own willingness to be a light and salt in the earth. They capitulated to the prevailing powers of mediocrity, carnality, and flesh. Come on, church. You show me a spotless bride, a bride without spot and wrinkle. You show me the remnant. You show me the overcomers. You show me the people of the Lord that can stand up as an end time army at this time, fighting the cause of the kingdom. Fighting the cause of the kingdom. Now, the Bible says a lot about troubles, particularly the psalmist David, who wrote many psalms. Listen to what he says about troubles. He said, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. There's going to be a lot of commotion. That's the word troubles in people's hearts. Believe me when I tell you, the heart of man will be disturbed. There will be inward commotions everywhere. David was talking about it. Then he said in verse 22 of Psalm 25, redeem Israel, speaking of the people of God. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Do you want to be delivered out of your troubles? Do you want to be undisturbed? Do you want to have no commotion in your life? Do you want to be built upon the rock? Do you want to be standing in the peace of God in the days that we are living in? Listen to Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 34, 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Are you righteous? Are you crying out to the Lord? The Lord hears. Psalm 71, verse 20 says, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Yes, God is showing us the troubles that are to come. In verse 3 of chapter 88, Psalm 88, for my soul is full of troubles and my life draws nigh unto the grave. Don't let that be your state of affairs, dear saints of God. It is time for a righteous moral revolution that begins in our own hearts against everything and anything that is ungodly. For I tell you, if you do not and I do not deal with the ungodliness in our own hearts, the troubles that will come in our own soul will become so disturbing and turmoilous, we will not be able to handle the mental turmoil, the soulical turmoil, the emotional turmoil that will hit our lives. It will happen swift, and it will be unbearable, and we will not be able to navigate out of it. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, this has to be a moral revolution that begins in the heart of every son and every daughter of God Almighty, our Father, through the power of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and the shedding of the blood. Proverbs 21:23. Listen to this. This one is going to help somebody. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. I hear God saying, shut up. I hear God saying, watch your mouth, watch your tongue. Be careful what's coming out of your mouth. Let me read it again. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Mamma mia, my God. And then in Isaiah 65, verse 16, that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hid from my eyes. You see, it's time for the former troubles of your life and my life to be over. And the troubles that are here and the troubles that are coming, we will be kept. We need to stand in a place of sobriety, of peace, of joy, because we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And then the final scripture is what I read to you earlier in Mark 13:8, when Jesus said, in the last days, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Again, the word troubles means disturbance, commotion, tumult, sedition, literally of a mob. You're witnessing the mob sedition before your very eye. These are the troubles that are coming, and it's just the beginning. It is just the beginning. I could go into further detail with you that while we were in Tyler, Texas and Bullard, we did talk about the EMP strike that will happen. And there was a woman called Candace that was just having an interview with the man from Common Sense, Dave Hodges. And Candace gave her testimony that she was in Davos, Switzerland, where they said, no doubt, undoubtedly, in the year 2020, we will have a global lights out scenario. She was warning about EMP. Now, the global elite will have their power, as we have said before, but they said, according to Candace, there will no doubt be a global lights-out scenario. We told you that I believe that the fourth wave will be a lights-out scenario. Amos chapter 8, God will darken the earth. And when I say God will do it, the Bible says so. He's going to allow it to happen. God knows what's going on in this world right now. Everything is moving towards his prophetic power. It's all happening because God said it would happen. So he allows it to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're very deep into some things right now. And another little tidbit of information is that the whole communistic agenda is to remove the present police force and to replace it with NATO forces. What the communist agenda will be with the United Nations, because of the anarchy and the war that will happen in the U.S., the police department as we know it, law enforcement as we know it, will be taken over by NATO forces that are not American. This is their agenda. This is their plan. Now listen, is there any way out of this snare? The Bible says that a snare will come upon the whole world and they will not escape. Is there any way out? Well, for you there is, and for me there is, as we exit Babylon and as we move towards coming out of her, my people, and coming very close to the heart of Jesus. There's a way out for those of us, but don't be lollygagging and lingering, right? We should have already begun the process out. God has a work to do. He wants to start regional home fellowships. You say, that's crazy. Yes, home fellowships. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5, God says that he's going to create a cloud and a fire, and he's going to put his glory upon every dwelling place, every house, and upon the assemblies, those who assemble in these dwelling places. He's going to put his glory, and he's going to set a defense around the glory. The only safe place that you will be is in fellowship, in assembly with the righteous saints of God, and the glory of God will be in those homes, and God will set a defense. And that confirms the vision 28 years ago, being taken into outer space, looking down upon the earth, and it was dark. And then descending into it and seeing little lights on here and there. Those little lights represented home fellowships. I saw it in the spirit. I know it's true. And they were safe. It was not safe outside, but they were safe. So where you gather together in your region and come together with like-minded people who do not have to be convinced about what time it is, they understand. But they also understand the absolute, pure, unadulterated need for holiness to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, each one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the call. This is the time. I want to go to our message board here, and I want to see some of the comments that are going out there today. And let me just say hello to some of our friends on YouTube and on Facebook as we're going to be drawing close here. Good morning from Kevin Hauger. Kevin, good morning to you, sir. Thank you for all the hard work you do to make sure that videos of our Saturday evening services at 5:30 at New Wine Ministries and our Sunday afternoon, 2:00 in the afternoon, people all over the world can tune in to see because of the work you're doing. Thank you, sir. Also, Brother Michael John Aloha from Michael. Good morning, Brother Michael. God bless you, sir. You must be marveling at what's going on in our world today. I'm sure you are, my brother. And then Scarlett, good morning, Scarlett. Scarlett says, good morning, Pastor. Hope you made it back safely. Your presence was felt by all. Even Rufus smoked around all day after you left. Well, tell Rufus I miss him too. And by the way, Scarlett, thank you for hosting us. Patricia, I asked her last night, do you miss everybody? She said, I miss them. She really did. We miss the saints. Shan Lewis, good morning. May blessings abound in each of your lives today. Praise Jesus for this beautiful day. I like your positivity, Shan. God bless you. Sonia, amen. Lots of love to you, Pastors Vincent and Patricia from the Lone Star State. Thank you once again for that. And Cindy, happy birthday, Sonia. So some good talk going on out there in the chat rooms. Cindy says, good morning with a lot of thumbs up. She's praising the Lord. Sharon Evans, good morning. Good morning to you, Sharon. Chandra, good morning, Pastor. Good morning to you, Chandra. Can't wait to see you this coming weekend. Maybe even Wednesday night if you make it out to our Bible studies, or Thursday for deliverance class. Shan Lewis says, the term silent majority is being used to call the Patriot group up. It's coming soon in media by POTUS, a social media campaign's ongoing since last week. Boy, you could say that again. Carrie, I wanted to say to Keith, thank you, Keith. Let me just say this quickly. Keith, Evelyn, Vinny, and Kelly, thank you for your online donations. I wanted to get your names out there. Keith, Evelyn, Vinny, and Kelly. And Keith, God bless you, Sonia, he says, for hosting this past weekend. I do agree. Thank you, Sonia, once again. And then Keith said, good morning, Pastor Vincent. This is real insight, referring to the video. In this video, to divide and conquer, time for to trust the shepherd. Absolutely, we need to trust the Lord. G. Lawrence, who I've known for many, many years on radio and on internet, said, thank you, Pastor Vincent. Very interesting. Just ordered the book. Good for you. There was a book. And if I had more time, I would actually put the video out again. I'll put it on maybe tomorrow or Thursday again. It's got to go everywhere. Michael John says, let's not forget about the roar and the gnashing of teeth from the radical jihadists to bring a caliphate by means of human bombs, provocation of fear and intimidation to bow to Allah. So right on, Michael. That's a wave we haven't even seen yet, but we're sure to see it. Keith Carey says, good morning, Pastor Vincent. Thank you for that word. I'm about to be for posting something that was considered racist and an offense to Democrats. Yikes. And Cindy says, thank you, Kevin. Well, we stand with you, Kevin. We stand with you right now. Keith, I'm sorry. We're going to stand with Keith that they're only going to see good things. And so what? So what? The day we're off the air, I guarantee you, and I'm talking about many of the true words of God, Amos chapter 8 will be fulfilled. There will be a famine, not of food and water, but of hearing the words of God. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a solid community of believers where people can open the word, sit down, break bread, discuss things, have the true word of God open rather than your sermonettes and radio broadcasts like these, you're hearing the truth. It's all lining up. You cannot, the stars, the sun, the moon, it's all lining up in the heavens. It's all there. You now know what you are witnessing globally and in your own country, that this is a communist move to set up the global one world government of Lucifer, and he will come and take his position of power. There's no doubt that this is what the prophecy says. What will you do in the midst of it? It's time to gather together. If you would like Patricia and I to come and to do a work in your city or region, we also have other pastors like Pastor Michael Villar and Pastor Ken Wagner and others that we could actually bring with us to do some work and to download and impart where needed. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. We're going to be heading out to in July, just a few weeks. We're going to be heading out to South Dakota for a few days of home studies. I'm looking forward to that because I want to see my friends, Kathy and Ken again. Again, I want to thank you for supporting our ministry. You could do that by going online to nwmglobal.org. That's NWM. For those of you that are watching, I'll just put it on the screen. It's nwmglobal.org. It's under the donations tab. We certainly appreciate your giving. We thank God for it. We ask the Lord to meet your needs according to his riches and glory as you continue to meet the needs of this ministry. We spend a lot of money out there. We're spending about $1,200 a month on KERM Radio, which by the grace of God has been met for over 7 years now. And we're about $500 a month to run this little station here and then going about our business. If we have been faithful in serving in a pastoral way and you want to bring tithes or offerings to this ministry, nwmglobal.org. And all you do is go under the donations tab and we'd be happy to receive the blessing. And thank you so much for doing it. You could also give, which is real interesting, to this broadcast or this radio station by texting 410-88 Omega, 410-88 Omega, and then type in the word give. 410-88 Omega, type in the word give. God is supernaturally awesome. You know why? Because he made sure that all the needs were met for the trip that we just took. And I'm just absolutely amazed because that's all we need is our needs met. And we just need to get somewhere. By the way, if anybody's out there, never mind. I'm going to have to say goodbye. I've run a little bit over here today. I'll see you tomorrow with Daniel Seckham. He'll be joining us from Australia. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about the movement in communism in our country right now. It's plain as day. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Pastor Vince. Right now on OmegaRadio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier. Until we meet again, shalom. God bless.